baby. Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the You're Still Out Golf Podcast. I am your host, JT. Excited to be welcoming back OU Women's Head Golf Coach, Veronique Druin-Latrell, Coach V. As you know her, many, many time podcast guest, and Sooners kicking off the 2023-2024 season. Going to talk about the upcoming Schooner Fall Classic that OU has hosted, I want to say, maybe since 2013, out at Belmar Golf Club. We will dive into that. Off the jump, obviously want to give some love to the official podcast studio of the You're Still Out Golf Podcast. That would be Lincoln Park Golf Club, here at Lincoln Park today, recording the pod. You know, an often overlooked excellent element of Lincoln Park Golf Club is the awesome grill. Fergie's Place, yeah, named after UC Ferguson, longtime head pro, slinging some of the best food in town. Would encourage you to come out, enjoy yourself. Burger, I've actually had the quesadillas here, tremendous. But while you are enjoying a round of golf at one of the two 18-hole golf courses, slide into Fergie's Place, have yourself a bite to eat. Maybe just come over for no other reason than to have food. You will not be disappointed. I know that Coach V is a semi-regular frequenter of Lincoln Park, and I'm sure has had some of the great food that Fergie's Place is dishing out. Again, Lincoln Park Golf Club for your golfing needs, your culinary needs, and everything in between. Come over to Lincoln Park. Without further ado, going to bring in one of my favorite people in all of golf. That would be Veronique Druin-Latrell. Again, Coach V. What our good friends call her. Coach, welcome back. I think you've now exceeded Coach Hibble in terms of podcast appearances, so you can lord that over him. How in the world are you?
I'm great. Just got back from a team retreat. I had a great weekend, and so today's first day of school for our players, so we're excited to be back in the swing of things.
Well, we're going to talk about getting back into the swing of things for a college golf season. Want to let all of our listeners know you're probably hearing this post Labor Day. We're recording this ahead of the Sooners starting up their fall schedule out in lovely Carmel, California, Pebble Beach for the Carmel Cup. Going to talk a little bit about that as well, but just we will be time stamping this and releasing it after Labor Day, because we want to talk a lot about the Schooner Fall Classic that has happened for many years out at Belmar. We're going to get to that as well. Coach, I want to start, though, with our typical roster check-in. Obviously, college golf, we need to remind folks who's on the squad, who we expect to have big years, new years, newcomers. So let me start with this. Give us two or three names just in terms of returning players on the team that are kind of expected to be sort of stalwarts, if you will. Maybe some names that folks will recognize. Go through a few of those for us.
Well, we have Savannah Barber. She's going to be a sophomore this year. Played in all of our tournaments last season. And, I mean, we're looking forward to obviously having her in the lineup and, you know, she's had a solid summer, different tournaments here and there. And so she's a person to watch for sure. Emily Hun, I also think is going to be really solid. She's technically a freshman. She was here one semester only in the spring, but she's returning for her second semester. So not really sure. Is she a freshman? Is she a sophomore? You know, it's one of those things. That's kind of odd there, but she's from Macau. Oh, no, underclassman. That's right. She's from Macau, and you know, I think she's going to be a really solid player for us. And Reagan Cheney, local player from Oklahoma. You know, I think she kind of closed out the season really well with a couple tournament wins. So definitely a name to watch as well.
I had the pleasure of getting to sit down with Reagan a few weeks ago and kind of the season preview. And yeah, she definitely seems to be kind of coming into form and kind of the player that everybody is expecting her to be. Talk newcomers. I got to talk with one of those newcomers on that podcast as well. But talk a little bit specifically about Isabel, her background, and then other newcomers to the team.
So we have two newcomers this year. Isabel Schlick from Germany. She is actually a transfer from Lynn University. So D2 school. She was really solid, really great person. You know, in the recruiting process, it was very interesting just hearing her talk about not wanting to come to Oklahoma, but then came and visited and fell in love with the place. So her story is pretty cool. So, you know, I think she's got a really good chance of doing something pretty special at the college level. And then Holly McLean is our other freshman. And so she is a true freshman coming from Grand Cayman. So, you know,
Grand Cayman as in like the islands, Grand Cayman.
That's right.
Wow.
I know.
Talk about tough coming from there to Oklahoma, but I'm sure she'll adapt. Might be tougher than coming from Germany.
Yes, a different kind of environment for sure for her, but she's awesome person, very hard worker, and so we're looking forward to working with her this season for sure.
You know, I always have to check myself doing this podcast and knowing that, you know, folks may be dropping in to an episode of You're Still Out for the first time, or they may have picked this up since we've talked college golf and not be familiar. Can you give talk to us like we're five version of how college golf works in terms of how many players you can and do have on your roster versus how many players typically are going to play in events? And maybe if they're not playing in the main event on the schedule, can they get reps elsewhere? So just again, talk to us like it's the first time we ever had you on the pod and explain how college golf works from that perspective.
So we typically, our roster size, this year we have 9 players, which to us is a good number. That's 3 threesomes when we play in qualifying. So it's just super easy for us to kind of bounce back and forth between groups. There are 3 of us coaches. So typically 5 will travel to a tournament. We count 4 scores. Now, for the first tournament at Pebble Beach, that one is different than all the tournaments we play in. It's actually 6 count 5. It's the only event we play in that counts like that. It might be the only event in college golf. I'm not even sure. But it's definitely unique. But it gives us just a different perspective on the players. And, you know, you see them compete a little different than obviously doing a qualifier here at the Jimmy or Belmar or somewhere around town. So that's kind of how that works for the players that stay home. So we'll have 3 players that stay back for the first tournament. The way that works, usually they'll be here on the weekend. They may be qualifying, they may have practice, kind of depends what our schedule looks like for the upcoming weeks to prepare for our next event. But usually they'll be doing something for sure to prepare. You know, we want them to prepare for the next opportunity to get into the lineup. So once the lineup is set for the first event, it doesn't mean it's not going to change. It fluctuates quite a bit, for sure. And so, you know, we love to play. We love to give opportunities to our players. You know, golf's great. You shoot a number and that's your number. That's what it is. So the players that are playing the best are going to be going to the event.
Very different from probably every other college sport, at least that I can think of. And when you say qualifying, talk through some different examples or scenarios. I know that you mentioned the retreat to begin the year that you came off of. I know that there was some qualifying there, but what we're talking about there, to my understanding, is you go out, and in this case, first tournament, there's 6 spots to be had, right? And so literally, unlike maybe the basketball team where, okay, yeah, there's 5 people that start the game, but you're rotating in and out, it's literally, you know, those, in this case, 6 for Pebble Beach, get to play in the game. So talk about qualifying. Give us some different examples of how you go about doing that other than post the score and whoever has the best score wins. You know, I'm sure there are variables there.
So for this very tournament, the very first tournament, we're just strictly going off of the scores. So top six will qualify for the first event. After that, if somebody finishes top 15 individually in a competition, then they will be exempt in the second one. That's just kind of our team rule that we've created. If you're playing well, you got to be rewarded for it. So they wouldn't, that person wouldn't necessarily be in the next qualifying event for the schooner, for example. So we may be playing for one spot, two spots, three spots. It just kind of depends. It varies quite a bit from week to week for sure. But you know, we try and, like I said, we want to give chances to our players, and we, the more golf we can play, the better. So over the retreat, we played four rounds of golf, and then we'll have two additional rounds for the first tournament.
Another thing you mentioned earlier is, you know, you have nine players, you have three coaches. Well, that is a new thing, because for a long time, you only had two coaches, yourself and assistant coach Ryan Sermon. But tell us a little bit about the new addition to the coaching staff. I know that you guys are excited to have Coach George.
We are very excited to have Tanner George join us this year. He comes from Sterling College, different background a little bit, because he actually was the head women's and men's college golf coach there. So he was the head coach, and I want to say he had about 20 student athletes, 20 or 28. It was very large. So just having him around is, you know, it's been awesome. He's been able to step in and really help our players already. And just having a different voice, you know, somebody else that can help us out has been fantastic. What is funny in a way with this new coach, so the NCAA gave us a third coach. However, the USGA still has a rule that only two coaches can coach. So he will be able to really help develop our players. So if we are traveling right now, the idea is for him to stay back at home and help the players get ready for their next chance at qualifying. So that really kind of will help us, you know, help us to have somebody on hand at home over the weekend when we're away. Hopefully maybe down the road, the USGA changes the rule to where we can have all three coaches coaching. But right now that's kind of our plan, is just to have them be able to be here and being hands-on with our players at home.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, very responsible and driven as collegiate golfers in particular are. I think that, you know, if both the coaches are away in an event, it's got to be nice to have that, you know, A, accountability with the players that are at home, but also, you know, having somebody, you know, be having a watchful eye over their progress, and not only their progress, but even, you know, mental and emotional standpoint, right? I'm sure that all these gals are highly competitive, and if they're left at home for the weekend or the week, they may need as much, you know, encouragement as they do technical support with their actual golf. So I would think that a combination of all that, it's always good to have a third hand on board. I wanted to spend most of our time focusing on the schooner so that folks would know it's going on, posting this with enough time for folks to get down to Belmar. So the event dates itself, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. There will be golf played each of those days. That's a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The weekend, I believe, of the OU-Cincinnati game, where OU is away. And so that, you know, you need your OU sports fix. Get yourself down to Belmar. But, Coach, start with kind of how did the schooner start? I know it's been going for a long time, so maybe tell us when it started and why it started, and then I'm going to go through kind of a list of who all is participating this year.
This is going to be the 11th year that we're hosting the event. Basically, I mean, it started as us, you know, wanting to host a really premier first-class tournament We partnered with the Toby Keith Foundation and the OK Kids Corral. And basically any of the money that is raised for the event goes back to the OK Kids Corral. So in the last year, the last 11 years, we've been able to raise over $1 million, which is pretty impressive, you know, for a college event. But a lot of the teams, you know, come back. We have a lot of this very similar field from year to year, but it's because of the commitment from Trisha Covell and also Toby Keith and the Toby Keith Foundation, just their commitment to our, the women's golf game. You know, it's been very phenomenal, and, you know, we're very fortunate to have them on our side. So that's why the tournament is actually hosted at Belmar. We do have some teams. Let's see here. We have Florida State's been here for, and Texas State, they have been here for every single year we've hosted. Wow. Just because of cause behind the event. It, you know, it's bigger than just golf. At the end of the day, for us, it was one of those deals where it's a great way for us to give back to the community. And, you know, it's extremely impactful. We do a visit at the OK Kids Corral, take the whole field there and all the players. And, you know, at the end of the day, you may not have played your best that day. After round one is when we typically go to the corral. And, you know, just seeing kids and what they're going through, it puts things into perspective, you know. And so for us to just be able to give back to them and, you know, just maybe give them an hour away from what they're going through, you know, seeing those kids smile, that's a big deal, and just having fun. So it's been a fantastic partnership, and, you know, we look forward to hosting it again and, you know, hopefully hosting it for years to come.
Well, filling in a couple quick blanks there, folks may not know that Belmar is owned by, partially, Toby Keith, and that's why it makes sense to have it there. And then the OK Kids Corral, amazing impact as a charity while kids are going through cancer treatment, primarily at OU Med. They are actually staying at the OK Kids Corral, where the entire family kind of gets put up. And it's a great mission, because oftentimes when kids are going through cancer treatment, their families obviously are with them and are having to stay at hotels and incur that expense, et cetera. And the OK Kids Corral takes care of that for the family. So it is certainly a worthy cause. Yeah, great field this year. You mentioned Florida State and Texas State being, along with obviously OU, year in and year out participants. This year, OSU, TCU, North Texas, the University of Tulsa with some local flavor, New Mexico, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa State, Virginia Tech, Houston, Kansas State, and then specifically wanted you to talk about Wake Forest. Obviously, Wake has been a kind of a top five team for several years, and, you know, as things ebb and flow in college golf, they've maybe had a couple of folks graduate, and they may be kind of a rebuilding year. But talk about Wake Forest being added to the field, and then anybody else that you want to shout out there that are either playing for the first time or are newer to the schooner.
Yes, I mean, you know, every year we try to put together one of the best fields in the country. And, you know, again, I think a lot of it has to do with the cause behind the event. A lot of coaches are wanting to get in our tournament. And I've been trying to get Wake Forest here forever. Finally, Coach Llewellyn asked if they could come. And so she's, you know, they're committed as, you know, defending national champions. Obviously, we're very excited to have them. I think they're going to be very good at, I think they reloaded. A lot of players are coming back as well. So, you know, it's definitely a very good team. You know, as far as people wanting to come watch, like, some of these players will probably be on the LPGA Tour at some point. This is as close as we get to having, you know, some of the best players in the country. And, I mean, if you look at the amateur rankings, like, some of these players are the best players in the world. And so, you know, we really encourage people to come out and watch, because it's very impressive. Some of these players play a different game. I mean, they just do. And, You know, I think, you know, Wake Forest, obviously, Florida State has a good team, Oklahoma State, they've had a good teams, you know, historically. And so we're looking forward to having everyone in Norman soon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Getting to come out and see some future LPGA Tour players. You know, Rachel Keene from Wake Forest comes to mind. Maddie Henson-Tolchard, Oklahoma State comes to mind. It is very rare that we get to see that kind of, you know, future stars. And I would highly encourage people to get out and check it out. What goes into coach making the schedule, right? So, like, what things are coaches looking for in potential events when they're filling out that schedule? Right? I've always wondered, and maybe we've talked about this on the pod before, but when a coach is considering, am I re-upping to come back to the Schooner, or am I coming to the Schooner, or another event, kind of what goes into that? Is it kind of plug and play, like, well, we've been going to this one forever, so we're going to slot that in? Is it kind of every year you're building around certain things? Give our listeners a feel to, you know, it's different than football schedule or basketball schedule, where a lot of that is lined up for you. What goes into that process?
It's extremely different from basketball, football, as in we don't necessarily have conference play other than the conference championship at the end of the season. So typically a tournament will have anywhere from Carmel Cup, Pebble Beach is very unusual. They only have 8 teams, but typically it's 12 to 15 teams is one tournament. And then for us, I mean, the way my philosophy with the schedule is I'm trying to put our players against the best players in the country. So you can, in a way, compare yourself, see where you're doing really good against those players and see what you need to improve on. Our schedule from year to year, it has been similar, just because of, we look at fields, you know, strength of the field makes a difference. You know, you want that to be as good as possible. And, you know, and then there's just people you kind of build relationships with, right? That, you know, if you go to their event, they'll come to ours. And, you know, that's kind of obviously what we look at in a way. But the biggest thing for us is to play against the best players and then kind of see where your game is at for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. The thing that trumps everything else is who you're going out and getting to play against, which I'm sure year in, year out can be a little difficult to kind of play the, well, are they going to be there? Because we want to be there. And if they're not going to be there, should we look at somewhere else? It's got to be a little bit of a kind of a puzzle that you're putting together. Does golf course ever factor in, or is it really kind of a moot point? Because if everybody is showing up, you want to be there. How does a particular golf course and where it's held factor into your schedule?
That's a good question. I mean, if you go someplace and you don't play good the year before, I will probably not sign us up for that event. Maybe until we get a different crew in on the team, just because if it's a really hard golf course where people maybe have struggled big time, you don't necessarily want to beat them up again the following year. So, but then at the same time, like Pebble Beach obviously is phenomenal. The venue is fantastic. It's probably the best college golf event in the country. So that experience itself is totally worth it. So you go play a course that is, you know, I mean, obviously U.S. Women's Open caliber. So you can really see how your game, how it is. Because we play, the yardages that you played this summer at the U.S. Women's Open is very similar to our yardages that we played last year. A few holes were different, but for the most part, it was extremely similar. So, I mean, that's just too good of a tournament. You can't pass it up.
Well, let's talk a little Pebble Beach. Again, kind of interesting timing. We're recording this before you guys go. We're going to post it after you get back. So I guess I'll ask you, last year was the first year that that event was in existence. It had been a men's event for many years as the Carmel Cup and is now a women's event, again, called the Carmel Cup. So I will go ahead and ask you, what are you looking forward to the most, you know, given last year's experience and getting back there, or maybe doing something different this year than you did last year, now that you've had a year under your belt?
our preparation leading up to the tournament will be a little bit different, because now we kind of know what to expect. Whenever you go to a tournament that's brand new, you don't know. The grass is very different at Pebble than it is here. So just knowing that, I mean, we knew that last year, but it played totally different. So having a little bit more practice in those conditions is a big one for us. And then most of our players this summer, we really encourage them to watch the U.S. Women's Open, kind of see how holes are being played. You know, when you look maybe as a whole, I don't really know all the stats, but, you know, typically hole 1 through 7, they play fairly easy. Then you have the stretch of hole 8, 9, 10, 11. I mean, those are kind of beastly. So having the understanding that you will probably make a bogey here and there, but at the same time, it's not the end of the world. Those holes, 8 is a really, really great example. 8, you have to hit a layup off the tee. So it's about, we'll say 220 layup, but then you have 230 into the hole. Tiny green, surrounded by bunkers, and we're hitting woods into it, right? Like, that's hard. That hole is just hard. Right. If you make a par, that's probably feeling like you're making an eagle, maybe, you know, because most people, for the most part, they're going to make a bogey. I mean, if you look at the scorecards from the Open, you know, they made bogeys on that hole. If you can shake it off and move on to the next one, those are the crucial holes for sure. And they're back to back to back. And so it makes it tough mentally at times for sure.
Yeah, when you have that 4-hole stretch where there's not really a breather and you feel like if you're making a mistake, it's compounded, I'm sure it is hard mentally. So having experienced that once and being able to talk through that with the team, especially, you know, you could have and will have at least a couple players probably in the lineup that weren't there last year. And so being able to rally around that, I think, would be key. I was looking and prepping for the podcast and reminding myself that you've been at OU since 2009. It is 2023 for those who are listening to this 5 years from now. I'm curious how you feel like college golf, and maybe even women's college golf, if there's that amount of specificity, has changed since you started coaching at OU. And obviously you were in college coaching even before that. Just specifically thinking about your time at OU, what are a couple things that have changed during that 14-year span that you've been at OU?
Women's golf as a whole is in a phenomenal place right now. I mean, you can walk around our facility, look at, you know, old scorecards from 2009, 2010, and the scores are different. We would shoot maybe in 2010, 8 over, and you're most likely winning a tournament. 8 over, you're going to finish last in a tournament, it seems like nowadays.
Wow.
You know, players have learned to really go low. And I don't know, I think just the depth is unbelievable. I mean, just across as a whole. I mean, same thing with the LPGA Epson Tour, you know, and then women's golf here in college. It's just, it's strong. So strong. And I think it's just, I'm not really sure why, but I mean, we have more athletes. They work really hard on different games, different part of their games than maybe we did before. I honestly don't know, but they're learning to score for sure.
I think that going low and athletes playing golf in general, probably that probably applies to the game at large at the highest levels. But I do think that there's more money being put into women's golf, again, at all levels, whether that be on the professional side with purses or even just donors, sponsors, boosters, et cetera, you know, getting more and more excited about women's sports in general, and that's a great benefit, certainly for golf. And golf is a game that a lot of people play. It's a lot of people who are well-resourced play, and that's got to be a good thing for women's golf. Talk a little bit about the Red Tee Club. I think it's been, you know, a couple times ago, since we've had you on and we haven't really talked about it. So not that this is like a total advertisement for OU women's golf, but I thought about it when you were talking about how much women's game is growing. Talk about the Red Tee Club. What is that? And then I will, and although it's a couple months away, we'll talk a little bit about the shot in the dark.
So the Red Tee Club is just our booster club with the University of Oklahoma Foundation office here on campus. Each sport has their own booster club. And so this is ours. It benefits everyone in a way. Just things we use, I guess, with that money would TrackMan, just different certification as coaches that we want to get is paid through that. I mean, anybody, just boosters, friends of our programs, can join, and all the information's on the website on Soonersports.com. And we are hosting the Shot in the Dark Classic again in November. I feel like that event has gotten a lot more popular over the last year or so, and so we're excited to do it again for sure.
It's a blast. The event itself, again, is a fundraiser for the Red Tee Club. We here at the You're Still Out podcast get to play in more than our fair share of awesome charity outings, golf events, pro-ams, etc. And I can say for sure that the Shot in the Dark Classic is the most unique and probably the most fun because it's so unique. So I would encourage folks who are looking for a new experience on the golf course. You kind of get to do something that not many people get to do, which is play a little bit on the Ransom short course there as part of the golf complex. And yeah, you can find out about the Red Tee Club. You can just go to Soonersports.com, go to Women's Golf, and then there's a banner for it there, Red Tee Club. And we'll obviously be posting information about the Shot in the Dark. And we'll go ahead and throw this up on Twitter feed as well, so that folks who are interested in our OU fans and didn't know that they could directly support the Red Tee Club and the program can do so. Coach, you know I can't let you out of here without talking about your golf game, which I'm sure is always your favorite part of the podcast. You mentioned the retreat that you're just coming off of. I believe you guys were up at Shangri-La, if I remember right. A couple questions there. The first of which is, did you get to play while you were there on Grand Lake? And if so, what's the status of your game right now?
I did play. The status of my game is probably not where it needs to be. However, to my defense, I have not practiced very much. But I hit some great shots, here and there. Some not great. Found all the balls, so non-issue there.
Did not lose any golf balls. That's good.
Nope. None. Did not lose one. Yeah. It's just, I don't practice very much. I run out of time. And so whenever we go play golf, I just grab my clubs and off I go.
I guess, did you and Coach Serum have, kind of a one-on-one match? I mean, come on. I'm sure that you guys had something on the line there, right?
Well, no, since the girls were qualifying, so we had three threesomes with our players, and then each coach played with a group. Okay. And so we didn't necessarily have a competition within the coaches. Okay. I mean, first of all, let's be honest, the guys should not be playing the same tees we are, They hit it a lot longer, so they probably should go back tee. So I would say they most likely won by default, maybe.
I mean, if we don't see the scores posted, I guess we'll never really know, now will we? I know that the Shangri-La did the big par 3 course recently. Did you guys get to take a peek at that at all while you were there?
We went over there just to grab lunch, but it looks phenomenal. We definitely need to go back and play it. I mean, it looks amazing.
Well, it sounds like the team is in good form going into the year. A lot of good experience on the roster with some newcomers being infused, and having that third coach, I'm sure will make for a great year. Coach, always appreciate your time. Can folks find out information about the Schooner in a particular place if they are interested in coming down? I know that it's fairly simple that college golf is awesome because there's no gates, there's no ropes. You show up at Belmar and you walk around and follow golf. But is there a place that folks can find out more information about it?
We will have more info as we get closer to the tournament on Soonersports.com. And then Spike Mark will be the live scoring this year. So they will have tee times posted daily, probably starting on September 22nd is when those will be released with pairings. But yes, I mean, everyone, we're encouraging people to come and watch. Some of these players are going to be really, really good. And, you know, it's going to be a fun event again.
I agree. I've been out there several times and it is fun to watch. And these girls can, the accuracy of which these ladies hit the golf ball is unreal. You have very low probability, unlike a PGA Tour event, of getting beamed in the head from a drive from these guys that are just wailing on it and don't really care where it goes. So I got to give the ladies props on their accuracy. And yes, would encourage you, if you can, get down to Belmar September 23rd, 24th, or 25th. Get out there, follow the ladies around, which means you're out there enjoying the walk.